All right, you should have a handout. We get those out yet? Did we? Y'all have them? Yes? No? Talk to me. No? Okay. Could we get those out, please? Before Dan mentioned this, these are sharp, are they not? I don't know if we've ever had full color, inside out, even the inserts full color. Now, I was thinking, Pastor's been out just for a couple days, and I don't know if this was budget approved to do this, but you know what they say, the cat's away, the mice will play, right? But ladies in the office, it looks good, looks good. And so these are sharp. It is God's business, and if we can do it well and look like that and meet budget, let's do it, right? Looks fresh. Thanks for being here tonight. Wait, now, I think a couple of the normal ameners are watching in live stream today, so we're going to need you to help us out, okay? Can we do that? I think we can't hear them through the live stream. Maybe we ought to, next time, Brother Jerry, if you're out, give you a mic and we can kind of hear you, or Brother Paul, a couple of you, but thanks for being here. If you are here, it means that you're either well or you think you are, right? You know, my dad used to say, you either just came out of a hard time, or, Brother John, you remember this, right? You're going through a hard time right now, or there's one coming. I feel like that this sick season. Isn't that how it feels? Right? Like, oh yeah, I was sick about a month ago. I'm sick right now. Well, hopefully that doesn't come. We'll kind of ride this wave out and get past it. But last night, my kids we got to sleep a little late. And you know how it is. And around midnight, I kind of leaned over. My wife was still trying to fall asleep. And I said, hey, what's going on? She said, I'm just trying to fall asleep. So around 12:30, one of the kids come in. And it's five of them. And to make a long story short, from 12:30 to 7 a.m., five kids threw up 13 times. Said, oh, my soul. And so that was my night last night. I got home around 5 this evening, so I told my wife, I said, it's either going to be a long one because I'm going to be trying to find the landing gear, you know, it's not working, or end it quick before one of the jet engines goes out and you're good, right? And so now I don't think I'm going to be able to compete with Brother Pichardo's 22-minute message. Brother Pichardo, it's kind of hard to compete with, but we'll see. Looking forward to the truth tonight. We do wish that Pastor was here, but I would rather him get 100% as opposed to come in and try to push it. I'm sure that's probably his desire, and that's normally how he's wired, to just show up and work hard. But Ms. Solomon, thanks for talking him into 100, getting 100 first. So Jeremiah chapter 36 is where we are tonight. Jeremiah chapter 36, just a brief thought that Lord showed me in my Bible reading within the last week or two. How many of you like sports? I know some people don't. You like sports. You like to watch sports, okay? Sorry right there, Pierce. Basketball, right? That's what I'm talking about. But I coached our basketball team for a couple years and played sports all growing up. Football, wide receiver, definitely wasn't on the line, you can tell. But played basketball. And one reason I love to coach sports is because sports shows you a lot of life lessons, right? And I got to grow up under my uncle's coaching and Brother Dalton's coaching, and they would always take sports and they would apply a biblical principle to it. One we're going to look at here tonight, now we don't start with sports and that's the foundation, we get it, but for sake of the thought here, when it comes to sports teams, there are not very many one-man shows. There's not. Generally, I remember when Carmelo Anthony, you know, he's a scoring machine, right, Tim? And how far do they normally go? They don't normally go very far, right? In order to be successful as a team, you have to play as a team. The quarterback, he might get paid $14 to $25 million a year, but if that team's going to be successful, he's got to have some receivers. He's got to have a running back. You're Brady, you have a nice tight end, right? You got to have some men on the line. They might only make 800 grand, but you got to have some men on the line that are going to back you up, because you can have the arm and you can have the drop back and you can stay in the pocket, but if there's no line, what pocket, right? And if you follow football, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, it's okay, right? Baseball. Dodger fans out there, okay, or watching on the live stream, you can have the pitching. You can have great pitchers, and you can pay them $75 million over a couple of years. But if you don't have the bats, pitching's not going to do you very good. You can have a 1.5 ERA. If you can't put up 2 points, you're not going to win, right? You got to have a team effort to be successful. I think of, this is for Pastor watching, I'm sure he is, hockey. Any hockey fans besides Pastor out there? Right here? Okay, all right. A couple, is it Kings, Ducks? Kings, right? Okay, both. He likes both. He says that's a man sport, right? You can check without getting called for a foul. You know, football now, it's become sissified, but that's not the message. But a goalie, he can stop all of the pucks from coming through, right? He can be the greatest goalie, but if he doesn't have offense on the other side to put it in to the goal, you're not going to be a very successful team. A point guard needs either some shooters outside to help him out where he can drive in and draw and kick, or he's got to have some big guys that he can wing it to the side that can get it down low and put it up. He can't be a one-man show and be successful. Sports history shows this. All right, think here with me. Michael Jordan had a right-hand man. Who was that? Scottie Pippen, right? I know there's a little saltiness going on there. I think he came out with an article recently about his disdain for being called the second man. But Shaq, or you could vice versa it, when they had a basketball dynasty, Shaq needed a what? Had to have a Kobe, right? Brady has Gronk, right? John Elway, Tim, I had to throw this in here for you, had Terrell Davis, right, as his running back. Now, just as to be successful on a sports team, you have to have a team and teamwork, the same is true in God's work. Ministry is most successful when there is a team made up of people called the local church that's willing to get involved, not sit on the sidelines, but get involved and see the vision for the church come to pass. Let's look here at Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 1 through 3. Here, we see that God had a work, a vision, a message that he gave to the man of God to get to the land. Let's see here, Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. So, God has a work, God has a message that he wants to get to the preacher to get out to the land. This is what the Lord said. He said, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. So let's bring us up to speed. God here comes to Jeremiah and he gives him a job to do. He says, take a scroll of a book. Now, they didn't just go down to Staples and get a scroll. And this is important for later on in the message. They couldn't just go get a ream of paper. Does anybody know what their scrolls were made of? Either that or animal skins, right? And a lot of times they'd have it'd be a huge roll. And they'd write for hours on end on animal skins. So God says, I want you to get a roll of a book, and I want you to write on it the message that I have for the people. Now, God has an intended purpose for this message. And if I can say this, when God's word goes forth, the Bible says it always has an intended purpose and message. That's why it's important when we sit under the preaching of the Word of God, we pay attention, right? Because there's a purpose for it. God doesn't have us here just to sit, come to church, leave, and talk about the good old days with the Broncos, right? There's a purpose for it. So God had a purpose with this message. And let's see what it was. He said, Jeremiah, get the scroll out. I want you to write this down. He says, it may be. You see God's heart here. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return, every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sins. We're reminded here, this is not the message, but God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in a backslider suffering the consequences of his sins. God's heart always has been for a backslider, for the lost, for the community, for the world out there to be reconciled unto himself. That's the message, right? And so we see God comes to the prophet, he says, get a scroll. He says, and write here the message that I have for you. He says, this is it. He says, my people are lost. They're wandering. They've turned away from me. And he said, my heart is, if they get this message, if it's written down, if it's read clearly to them, maybe, just maybe, they'll come back to me. I think you have this in your notes. God wanted to do a work among his people. He gave the work and the message to the preacher. However, and here it is, Jeremiah was limited in what he could do, and he would not be able to carry out the vision alone. Jeremiah was going to need some help. If he was going to see that message from God, the work that God gave him, the vision that God gave him, come to pass among the people, he was going to need some help. You see, because of Jeremiah's preaching, he was, shall we say, tied up, right? All puns intended. He was probably in fetters. At this time, Jeremiah, by the nature of what his job called him to do, limited his scope so that he could not do everything that God wanted him to do at this point. So what Jeremiah said is, if this work, if this vision, if this message is going to go forth as God wants it, and possibly the people repent, and possibly there's a revival in the land, I'm going to need some help. And so we see here, and I think you have it, number one, you see here that Jeremiah recruited some help. You have a blank there. How was it that the work was accomplished that we see accomplished in Jeremiah chapter 36? This whole story takes up the whole chapter. There's a man named Baruch. You say, how do you know that? Because I looked at two different sites to try to get the spelling here. That was Barak. Baruch, who was willing to get involved and make a difference. And I want to look simply here. I don't think we'll take 30 minutes, but we may. Five ways that this man was willing to get a hold of the vision that God had given the preacher, the work and the vision that he had given for his people, team up with him as a team and see the work accomplished. Here it is. Number one. Baruch was willing to use his gift to be a part of God's vision. Look at verse number 4. Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse number 4. It says, then Jeremiah, so God comes down. He says, I have a work for you. I have a vision for my people. And he says, here it is. And this is why, and we just talked about that. It says, then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken to him upon a roll of a book. Now, for whatever reason, Scripture doesn't tell us, Jeremiah was not able to do a couple things here, but one thing it seems like he wasn't able to do or not willing to do or needed help doing was writing. And so Jeremiah knew a guy. This guy wasn't a preacher. This guy wasn't an orator. All this guy was a scribe, and he could write. And Jeremiah said, if this job's going to get done, I need to call Baruch because I know he'll do a good job. He'll help me out, and he'll write. You say, what's the point there? You see, he was a scribe, and what Jeremiah needed was someone to write, to take God's verbal words and put them on paper. And he was willing to use the gifts that God gave him and his talents. Here it is. He might not be able to preach, but he could write. He might not be able to prophesy, but he could write. He might not hear God's audible voice like the prophet, but he could write. He was not the best orator, but he could write. He might not travel around the land, and when people came in, they say, whoa, look, that's Baruch. They would probably say that about the preacher. He might not have been famous, but he could write. He might not have been the one that you knew him as a household name, but he could write. And you say, what did he do? When there was a need, when the man of God was limited to see God's work and God's vision go forward, there was a scribe named Baruch that said, you know what? I might not be uber talented. I might not be the smartest cookie in the jar. Cookies aren't smart. I might not be the best or the most eloquent. He said, but I can write. You say, what's the point? If God's work is going to go forward, he simply needs willing vessels. He doesn't need professionals. He needs willingness. He doesn't need eloquence. He needs willingness. He doesn't need the uber and the extra talented. He needs willingness. And the question here today is, what gift has God given you? Maybe you can write. Maybe you can get on a computer. Maybe you can go out there and share the gospel. God's not asking for us to be a household famous name. He's asking, what's in your hand to be a part of furthering the cause here at our church? Maybe you can't preach, but can you hand out a tract? Maybe you're not ready to teach, but you can greet. Maybe you don't think you're eloquent, but you can serve. Maybe you're not comfortable leading a bus route, but Brother Bird's in discipleship right now. He would like this one. But maybe you can get behind a wheel and drive a bus. Maybe you can't sing a solo yet, You might think you can, but you can join the choir. Maybe you're not talented, but you can go to Brother Paul and you can say, Brother Paul, give me a week. I'll vacuum after the service. You might not be able to do a lot of things that you look up and say, well, that's greatness in God's work. Maybe you're good at making money and you can give. Maybe you've been blessed. You say, maybe I'm getting up in age and there's not too much I can do. Maybe you can get this prayer letter, this prayer list, and I promise you it would be a blessing to our missionaries if you could pray. God's not looking for talent. He's not looking for professionalism. In fact, a lot of times God gets a whole lot more glory by those of us nobodies that are only two talent people that say, God, I'm willing, use me to further the work. I think, where'd he go? Chris. He was back there. He's playing hooky already. Security. You know, Chris might, is he here? No? Good. He won't get a big head. Might not, you know, I don't remember if he graduated from Bible college or not. He might not, Brother Jim, out arm wrestle you. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. I kind of doubt it. I think you guys arm wrestled before. He's pretty strong there. But you know, anytime, Tim, is this true? 4 a.m., 5 a.m., midnight. If there's something that I need a ministry-related request, I can text or call him, and I know he's going to be there. For I don't know how many years now, our Sunday school class, probably 6, 7, 8 years, he gets off, he works all day Saturday, works graveyard Saturday night. So all day Saturday, graveyard Saturday night, gets off around 4 or 5 a.m., runs, grabs Krispy Kreme donuts. Come on now, that's why our attendance has been growing. We get Krispy Kreme every single week. But gets 2 or 3 boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts, gets my coffee plugged in, makes sure the pulpit's set up, and makes sure that the chairs are there. You don't know how much of a relief and blessing that is as a Sunday school teacher to be able to focus. Brother Jim, you know what I'm talking about, to be able to focus on people. You say, is he going to stand up and preach? He's probably not going to stand up and teach or preach, but he's willing and he does what he can. And it's a huge blessing to our Sunday school class. And again, I could go on and on and on because so many people do that. Moses said, I can't speak, but God said, you have a staff. Number two. Number one, he was willing to use the gift that God had given him. Number two, he was willing to go. Willing to go. Verses 5 through 8 and verse 10, it says, and Jeremiah commanded Barak. So first he wrote. He's got the scroll done. He says, yes, my job's done. Now we can relax, right? Entry-level job, I'm good. No. We grow from there, right? Here it is. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I'm shut up. I cannot go into the house. I wonder if this was kind of a setup, right? Jeremiah knew that some of y'all feel like that sometimes. He says, I can't go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. Now shall read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch said unto and the son of Neriah, did according to that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. You know, it was one thing for him to write. It was another thing for him to take the scroll, go stand before people, and take another level of commitment. I remember Brother Ross is on live stream right now. He would know who I'm talking about. When we were on JV, or I think we had just got into varsity, and, well, you know what, you're pumped up. Brother John, we sat, right, we sat on the bench, you and I next to each other, and we were trying to get there. And last 4 minutes of the game, right? Like, that's what we live for. Like, put us in, you know, hopefully we're blowing them out by 20 points, and they let us get a couple minutes of playing time. Maybe if I just camp out right under the block, I'll get a layup. But we were there, and we had worked hard. You know Brother Esposito. I mean, he worked us hard. He put us through, he called it Hell Week. And then, if that was enough, he goes, no, it's not enough, Hell Month. And for like 4 weeks, I mean, we're running miles and sprints, and it was crazy. And you did a lot to get to that point in the season. I remember we were there, and there was one guy, and he was sitting near the end of the bench, and it was coming near the end of the game, but there's still some time left. And after all that work, and after trying to, you know, we're prepared to get in the game, we do all that preparation, he comes to him, the coach comes to him and says, all right, get in there. And he sat there, shaking in his boots. He just shook his head. No, I ain't going in. We're like, What in the world? And then, you know, all the other guys, yeah, you might remember that, John. I don't remember that instance. And all of us were like, put us in, you know. But he wouldn't go in. You know, a lot of times, sometimes we're like that, are we not? Right? We're part of the team. We've done the work. We get to a certain point, and then the coach comes and says, hey, there's an opportunity to serve. Hey, there's an opportunity to go. Hey, there's an opportunity to teach. Hey, there's an opportunity to take another level of commitment. I hope that we're not like this young man at the end of the bench is like, no, not me. No, not me. Where is it that God might call you to step it up and serve at a greater level? Where is it? Maybe you can go into that bus route. Maybe you can go into that driver's seat. Maybe you can go. I'll tell you right now, we need some more Sunday school teachers. And pastor just approved 4 of you. Well, some of you are here tonight to teach, but we still need some more. Maybe you'll go into that junior high Sunday school class. Maybe you'll go and you'll help an adult Sunday school teacher. Go and take another level of growth. I remember Brother Jerry Montgomery and how my dad, what's Brother Jerry good at? Hugging people and greeting people, right? It's mostly, you know, walking up and just saying something nice. God is good. If I was any better, where'd I be? Heaven, right? And all the things that he says. Then my dad said, why don't you take that gift? You're already doing it at a certain level. And why don't you go next door and start a class next door and love some of those people? And do something that you're good at. And I remember, I think the first, Miss Alma, I don't know if you remember, I think 2 times he turned it down. I said, nope, I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Then another time, nope, I'm not going to do it. And I think he said, if I remember his testimony correctly, he said, you know, if he asks me again, I'm going to say yes. I don't remember how many he had. He had, if I'm not mistaken, dozens of people that came, and he was able to love them and teach them and be a blessing to them. Why? Because when the opportunity finally came for him to take another level of growth, he said, that's fine, I'll do it. What is it for you? Maybe some of us have kind of taken a step back and we've stagnated. Let's take another step of growth to serve, to see the vision here at our church come to pass. Number three, halfway there. No, more than halfway. Here it is, number three. Baruch suffered setbacks while serving as part of the vision. So first, he was willing to use the gift in his hand. Next, he was willing to go, another level of growth, another level of going, commitment, serving. But then next, he suffered setbacks. It says, when they went into the court, the king, into the court, they laid the roll on the chamber of the scribe. And they told all the words of in the ears of the king. So he went to fetch the roll, and he took it out of the man's scribe chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and all the princes which stood by the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the 9th month, and there was a fire on the earth burning before him. And it came to pass, when he had read 3 or 4 leaves, 3 or 4 pages, if you would, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the earth. And the roll was consumed with the fire that was on the earth. You say, what happened? They took the message, and he said, bring it to the king. So they brought it to the king, and they read it before the king. And before they even finished reading all the words, he said, I'm not about that life. He said, cut that thing up. And he took a pen, and he cut it up, a penknife, and he cut it up. And he cut it up. And what did he do? He tossed the entire work into the fire. Now, this is not like going onto Microsoft Word and typing a couple pages of God's Word, right? This is not like, this is Baruch, this is Baruch, this is not Siri, right? There's no dictate. There's none of that stuff going on. This would have taken hours upon hours upon hours, if not days, to write all that was found written in that scroll. If I was him, I'd say, fine, have it your way, I'm done. That was a setback. You know, in ministry and in life and in family, there's going to be setbacks. You know what we've seen a lot of times? It's during setback times that people back off from ministry and never get back in the game. I understand sometimes we have a setback and you might tone it down for a little bit. Sometimes pastor will say, you know, why don't you step aside during this time of grieving or during this tough time? Let's get some help, but let's get right back in it. I think of COVID. All across our country, churches have, it was a setback, was it not? To an extent, we can be honest, right? A setback. You know what's happened? Not so much in our church, but churches all around. People have taken a step back from serving. And I want to challenge us. Let's get back at it. Let's get back at it. We're going to see here that he didn't let a setback that took hours and weeks and maybe even months, we don't know, but a long time to do that, to write that dictated note from God, he didn't let that stop him. Brother Two, I think of when, was it Sophia, right? How long had you been on the field when that happened? Just 2 weeks? I did not know that. So they're on the mission field for 2 weeks, and they have a majorly premature daughter to where you had to literally, this is not like Memorial Hospital, right? It's not even St. Mary's. And it's not even College Medical. You know, I stay away from that place, but compared to where you all were, give me College Medical. They're on the field for 2 weeks. They have a very premature baby. There's no oxygen tanks. You know, we're complaining about ventilators. You know what ventilator was? Ventilator was mom and dad pumping the oxygen live into the infant, right? I don't know how long y'all had to do that for. You know, a lot of people would say, oh, guess it wasn't God's will. I'm going back to where Memorial is. No, they kept on keeping on and have made a big difference because of it. And I could share, you know, there's a pastor who this past week had I actually was with this pastor in Guatemala not too long ago, and they were going down the mountain, their brakes gave way, had a major accident, their son died, and I got a picture of the daughter's arm today, and it's kind of mangled, if you would. And you say, what is that? That's a setback, right? We're rearing our children, and sometimes we do the best we can. We pray, we try, and for whatever reason, there's a setback, right? And so many times during a setback, we say, you know, forget it. No, what's the vision that God gave you, whether it was a ministry? Maybe it was to see your children serve the Lord and reach that next generation. And because one of them messed up, it was a setback, and you just gave up on the whole crew. Get back at it. Get back at it. Maybe it was a ministry. Maybe COVID caused you to be different, distant from it. I want to challenge you. Get back at it. Get back at it. David was in a cave. That was a setback from the vision. Abraham had no child. That was a setback from the vision. Joseph was in prison. Paul was shipwrecked, and I could go on and on and on. Maybe it's marriage, and you say, you know what? My wife and I used to love each other, and it was sweetheart, it was notes, and it was the whole nine yards, and we've just totally grown cold, and we've gone distant from each other. That's just the way it's going to be. No, get that vision back. And we could go on and on. Number four. Oh, there's setbacks in the church. Y'all remember our that first building meeting? Who was there? Was anybody there in that first planning meeting? No? Okay. I was like Peter. I was afar off. I was in the foyer area. Were you around? No? Tim, no? I remember. My dad went in there, and it was exciting. Miss Alma, you remember this, right? Your husband, I'm sure, was in there. And we had our plans, and this building right here, you know, many years ago, 15 or so years ago. And we were going to present it to the city, and everyone was going to be on board. A beautiful church, expanding to reach the community, make an impact. Talk about a setback. We had lawyers in there speaking out against us. We had a city planner speaking out against us. We had environmentalists speaking out against us. And they basically told us, we're going to do everything we can to fight tooth and nail against your building. Well, God, look at where we are tonight. Praise the Lord, right? I'm glad that my dad and then Pastor Myers, when he stepped in, did not allow setbacks and hard times and city planners and fire inspectors and whatnot stop the work. It went forward. Sometimes setbacks are a part of life. They're not to stop. Sometimes it's a test to make us stronger, and sometimes it's God trying to teach us something. But let's go forward with the vision and the work. Number four, Baruch, and I'm just going to go through this one quickly, was willing to put his life on the line for the sake of the vision. Jeremiah 36:19, it says, then said the princes unto Baruch, after they saw the king's reaction, go hide! Hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Why? Because if anyone finds out where y'all are, y'all might lose your head. Jeremiah 36:26, the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. I like that. The Lord hid them. You know, if I'm serving the Lord, doing his work, he'll protect me. You say, what's the point of this one? And I'm going to move on quickly. What was the principle here? He was willing to be all in. You know what keeps us from really being involved in the work sometimes? Faith equals risk. Faith equals sacrifice. Does it not? And sometimes we know what commitment is going to, we know that commitment is going to take sacrifice, and so we kind of shy away from it. Be willing to sacrifice your time, your talent, your treasures. And again, I wish I had a little more time to talk about this, but I won't. Brother Two, when you all went to that John Village and the police were waiting for you, I mean, were they there to give you a love gift? and invite you and say, you know, we got the chief and all the towns. No. What'd they say in a nutshell? You come in, we can't guarantee your safety, right? If I'm not mistaken. I'm glad that our missionaries and those that we've sent out to plant churches have been willing to risk their livelihood for the sake of furthering the vision God's given to our church. And God might call some of us to do that. God might call some of us to go out. God may call some of us. I think of when, and again, I think of when some of our men have left and others have had to change things to really to fill their spot, but I don't have time. We'll move. If I commit to doing ministry, what sacrifice will that make? Or will that take? Sometimes we need to make life changes to be involved in God's work. Sometimes we need to make life changes to be a part of what God wants to do in and through our lives. Number five, and I'm going to close here. Number five. Because he was willing to do these things, the vision was expanded. Verse number 32, we'll be done. Jeremiah 36, 32. It says, then took Jeremiah another role. Okay? Can you see Jeremiah calling Baruch into the room, and he sees him with another blank scroll? Can you imagine, right? The king just cut it up. They were just hiding for their life, right? Put his life on the line. He went out, he read it. He was willing to put himself out there for the sake of the cause, the vision. So then Jeremiah took another roll and gave it to the scribe, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And look here. What was his reward? He got to write some more, right? Look here. It says, and there were added besides unto them many like words that I believe we have here in Scripture, a lot of them. You say, what was the point? Because he was willing to use his gift, because he was willing to sacrifice, because he didn't let a setback stop him, because he was willing to take another level of commitment and be involved in the work, at the end of the day, because of his willingness, God's word was expanded. The vision was expanded. The work was expanded. You know, I'm excited. This is Brother Board right here. There's hope. Look at this. There's hope right there. The Bible's closed, okay? But the notes are not. You know, I'm excited about what the future holds for our church. Tim, we talked just this past week. God willing, the creek don't rise. By the end of 2022, the building may be complete. Is that feasible? Think it is. All week this week, the guys have started clearing phase two, right? I hope Pastor wasn't supposed to be the first one to announce that we got things cut. No, I think it's on the newsletter. Things got stamped, right? Things are approved. The guys literally started working. They had a crew all week starting on phase two, and we're not doing a phase three. We're done, right? So possibly by the end of this year, the entire building can be done. And we've always talked about how this building's going to be a foundation, an infrastructure to be able to fulfill the vision God's given to our church, right? But here's what it's going to take. It's not just going to take Pastor. He's limited. It's not just going to take the staff. We're limited. It's going to take all of God's people that have a willingness to use the gifts that God have given to each and every one of you to get involved in the work and get involved in the vision to see that thing expanded for God's glory and our good and the good of the lost out there. How about it tonight? Have we allowed setbacks to kind of let us grow distant from the work? Let's get back at it. Maybe God started to use you. Maybe you started to become faithful and he wants you to take another level. Let's get at it. There's always a work. There's work. There's a place where you can serve. The Bible says that if, there's even more hope. Look at this. The Bible says that every single member is important. And if there's one that's lacking, just one, the whole body feels it. We need you in the work. God needs you in the work. Pastor needs you in the work. And our church, and for the sake of the vision, for the sake of us going forward, seeing it expanded, for the sake of a lost world out there, let's get involved. Let's be a team. Let's not sit on the sidelines and say, what has God given me that I can use as part of his body for his work and his vision? Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our evening. Lord, thank you so much for even men that maybe aren't a household name like this scribe who saw a need, was willing to take the lead, and be a part of your work and even your word getting to us to this day. I pray, Lord, that we would look and ask, what part would you have us to have in your work? Get off the sidelines and get involved, Lord. We want to see the vision come to pass, but it's going to take your people getting involved. Bless us as we go our way. Pray for those that are sick. Pray for Pastor. Please help him to get to 100% strength very quickly. Again, well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.